because if Mashiach will come, none of this will be relevant. Right? So I prepared a whole class hoping that it will be totally irrelevant. That will be the greatest blessing for all of us. However, in the event that Chas V'Shalom Mashiach doesn't come, in the event Mashiach doesn't come, we do have to know this. And anyway, somehow when you bring an umbrella, it never rains. I figured if we spend the time learning all these halachas, so hopefully we won't need them in Ritz Hashem. All right, so let me begin tonight. I'm going to talk about when dinner interrupts between the regular day and the fast of Tisha B'Av. It's called in Hebrew Su'uda HaMafseket, which literally means the dinner or the meal that interrupts. That's what it means. Mafseket means to make a division. I'm going to open tonight's class by reading to you from the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, from the code of Jewish law, the concise code of Jewish law. And I'm doing this to make a point. So in chapter 123 of the concise code of Jewish law, we read about the laws of Erev Tisha B'Av. So we hear about if it is a Brit Milah or a Pidyon HaBen, special events, life cycle events, they have to be done early in the morning. And once we get to the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, the custom is that we do not engage in anything that will take our mind off Tisha B'Av in the morning. We're not supposed to with the OU morning. We're not supposed to even take a walk or a stroll. We're not supposed to be learning Torah, the joyous parts of Torah, which is most of Torah. And then the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says this, Be'inyan Su'uda HaMafseket, with regard to the Last Supper before Tisha B'Av, Yesh Kama Dinim, there are all kinds of rules. And then he says, HaMinig HaYashar, the widely accepted or straightforward practices to eat before Daven Mincha, have a big meal. Then you'll pray the afternoon service. You don't say Tachnun. And that's a story in and of itself. And then, close to the evening, you sit down on the ground, but don't take your shoes off. Don't eat with a group of people. And you're going to eat some bread and a hard-boiled egg. You'll dip it in some ashes and make sure you finish on time. The ashes. Not a lot of ashes. Not a kezayit of ashes. Just dip the egg in some ashes. In other words, you have to fast, so you have to fast. So this is how you should make sure to eat before you fast. I have a simple question. It's a very simple question. It's so simple, nobody asks it. Why are we doing this? Tisha B'Av is about fasting, yes? Okay, so let's fast. Why do you have to have a su'uda hamafseket? Why do you have to have a meal that interrupts before the fasting and the fasting? Why don't we just fast? Isn't that what we do on Tisha B'Av? On Tisha B'Av, we don't eat. So if on Tisha B'Av, we don't eat, then don't eat. Why do you have to make a big deal out of this dinner that interrupts? And if it's so important to have a Su'udah HaMafseket, or dinner that interrupts, why don't we do that on Shabbat? Like this year, when Erev Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbat, why don't we have a Su'udah HaMafseket? Somehow it gets left by the wayside. I know it sounds very simple and very, very ordinary, so mundane, a pedestrian. I asked about half a dozen people, some of them quite learned, and nobody can give me a straight answer. So I said, okay, then I have to figure this out once and for all. And that is the segue into today's class. What is up with this business of Su'udah HaMafseket, this dinner that interrupts? Who needs it? Why is it necessary? Why is it important? Now, in case you think my question is silly or unnecessary, let me tell you that the Mishnah seems to support me. We talked about this in our previous class. There's a Mishnah which is found in Masechet Ta'anit. It begins on page 26a. It moves on to page 26b, almost halfway through it. It's a very long Mishnah. And the Mishnah talks about the 17th day of Tammuz and the various things that happened. And then the Mishnah goes on to identify a number of important dates. The date of Rosh Chodesh Av, the beginning of this month. Memat and Besimcha, you have to minimize joy. Then we talk about Shabbat Shechol Tisha B'Av Lihiyot Betocho, The Shabbat that Tisha B'Av falls, which Rashi explains, does not mean the Shabbat that Tisha B'Av falls on, because Tisha B'Av doesn't always fall on Shabbat. But it means the week, the Shavua Shechal B'Av, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls. What should we do? Well, it's more about what we shouldn't do. You don't take a haircut. You don't do laundry. And then the Mishnah says, Erev Tisha B'Av, the day before the saddest day on the Jewish calendar, the day in which we commemorate the destruction of both Bate Migdash, our holy temples. Lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin. Do not eat two cooked items. You can eat, but not two cooked items. Sounds like don't have a nice meal. Lo yochal basar, don't eat meat. Lo yishte yayin, don't drink wine. In a previous class, we talked about this notion that it's customary not to eat meat or drink wine for some communities from Rosh Chodesh, from other communities in the week of. And we asked how that squares with the Mishnah, and we explained that there is those who have a custom of not eating meat or drinking wine during the days leading up to it, but that's but a custom. And this is a halacha, this is a din, this is a rule. So even if that day is going to be a big mitzvah, a brit milah, we still will not have wine on that day. You don't make a siyum masechet, you can't make a party finishing a tractate of Talmud and have meat and wine. Not going to work. The Mishnah doesn't say anything about a su'udah hamafseket. The Mishnah doesn't say anything about what you do have to eat. The Mishnah just says what you don't eat. It's Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av, we don't eat meat and wine. We explained already previously, based on the Gemara in Masechet Bava Basra, on page 60b, the end of the chapter called Chezkat HaBatim, we explained that the notion of not eating meat or drinking wine is very much connected to the fact that in the Beit HaMikdash, meat and wine were a daily feature on the altar. There was animal offerings that were brought twice daily. There was wine libations. And as such, people said, if the Mizbeach goes hungry, I go hungry. If there are no korbanot, then I will not eat either. Okay, that's this business of meat and wine. And then we talked about the idea of joy and enjoyment. So Erev Tisha B'Av, we shouldn't have any enjoyment. The Mishnah says absolutely nothing about a Seuda HaMafseket, about a particular meal that has to be eaten. However, the Gemara, later on page 30, side A, on the very bottom, on the last line, the Gemara begins to talk about Erev Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says, L'yechel basar, don't eat meat, don't drink wine, so said the Mishnah. What does that mean? Let's get into the meat of the matter. And the Gemara starts to say, well, if it's pastrami or bologna, that's not so bad because it's not really meat anyway. That's just like things that are preserved and salted and it couldn't be a korban. If it's freshly squeezed grapes, that wouldn't be an issue. At least that's how the Gemara talks about it. And on the very last line, the Gemara says this. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda taught in the name of Rav, the elder of the Babylonian academies. We're talking now beginning of what we call the Talmudic era, the post-Mishnah era. Kach hoya min hogoy shal Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi. Such was the custom of the last generation of Tanaic sages, the rabbis of the Mishnah. And specifically, he refers to Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Eloi. Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev, the day before Tisha B'Av, Mevim lo pat chareva. He would have a dry crust of bread brought to him, and he would dip it in salt. V'yoshev, and he would sit, bein taner l'kirayim. He would sit kind of like a scullery child. He would sit near the hearth. He would sit on the ground, where people usually don't spend time between the oven and the hearth. And there, he would eat and he would drink. He would eat his little crust of dried bread. He would drink a kiton shomayim, a small jug of water. Vidome, and it would seem, if you looked at this man eating, crouching there at the fireplace, kemisha meto muto lefanav, you would look like a person who had just lost a loved one. He was like in a state of shock, in a state of meltdown, of mourning. That's all. doesn't elaborate. So this was the custom of Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi. We said you're not allowed to eat meat and wine in this day. Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi, he did not only eat meat or drink wine, he would actually sit on the floor and drink in water and drink and eat a dried crust. So Rashi says, what's Tanur v'kirayim between the oven and between the hearth? He says, mokim menuvel shavabayis, a dirty place in the house. You'd call it today maybe the boiler room. It's not what you say. Guests come over. Come have a seat in the boiler room. I was always hoping you'd join me for tea in the boiler room. That's not really appropriate. But that's all we get. It doesn't say it was an official meal. It doesn't say. It says, the Gemara said, don't eat meat and wine. Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi, he just not only didn't eat meat and drink wine, he ate a dry crust of bread and he drank water. All right. He was very extreme. He went to an extreme. It doesn't say he had a su'uda mafseket. It doesn't seem to say that he had a special meal. It said on this day, the halacha prohibits eating luxuriously. You don't eat two tafshilin. You don't eat multiple things that are cooked. You don't have multiple dishes. It's not like a first course and second course. You keep it a simple meal. No meat, no wine. Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi, he had a really simple meal. A piece of bread, a dry crust, and some water. So the Gemara goes off here in a discussion of how we treat the day of Erev Tisha B'Av. Should we do work? Shouldn't we do work? And so on and so forth. The day of Tisha B'Av itself, how we treat it. Not Erev Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av itself, is work done, is work not done? Then the Gemara comes along about halfway through the page and says like this. Tanya Nami Hachi. Ah! You talked about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eloi. We did indeed learn in a Braisa. A Braisa is a teaching from the genre of the Mishnah. It's not a Mishnah, but it's from the genre of the Mishnah. So we did indeed learn Kol Ha'ochel Basar V'Shosa Yayin. Anybody who eats meat and drinks wine on Tisha B'Av, all of Akosa V'Yimer, about this it says in the 32nd chapter of the prophecies of Ezekiel, Avinaseyam Alatzmoisam, their sins are upon them. In other words, they like arrows or swords or spears that will pierce a person, your sin is upon you. Your sin did it to you. You brought evil upon yourself. If you ate meat and drank wine. Now, this is a rather strange Mishnaic or Braisa statement, because you're not supposed to eat or drink anything on Tisha B'Av. And here it says, Kol ha'ochel basar v'shote yayin, a person who eats meat and drinks wine. I mean, this is a serious no goodnik. Not only he eats on Tisha B'Av, he's having meat and wine. So Rashi says, let me clarify this. When it talks about eating meat and drinking wine on Tisha B'Av, it's not really talking about Tisha B'Av. B'Tisha B'Av means kilomar. In other words, b'seuda hamafsik bo. It's talking about the meal. It's talking about the meal that divides between Erev Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av. In other words, according to Rashi, the way Rashi understood this strange braisa that seems to be talking about a person eating meat and drinking wine on Tisha B'Av, he says, no. This is not eating meat and drinking wine on Tisha B'Av. This is eating meat and drinking wine on Erev Tisha B'Av. If it's Erev Tisha B'Av, you think maybe you could have told us Erev Tisha B'Av? Why does it say on Tisha B'Av? So Rashi says, I'll tell you why it says on Tisha B'Av, because it's not a prohibition of eating meat and drinking wine on the day before Tisha B'Av, the whole day. It's a prohibition of eating meat and drinking wine on the Seuda HaMafseket, on the meal that interrupts or bridges between Erev Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av. So this is very interesting. According to Rashi, the Gemara here is qualifying now the statement of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to drink meat, wine or eat meat, it didn't mean you're not allowed to drink meat, wine or eat meat on Erev Tisha B'Av. It meant you're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine in the meal, which segues into Tisha B'Av. So we have an inkling now that there seems to be something about a meal that has to be eaten, and at this meal, you have to make sure to avoid any kind of luxury. Not the day before Tisha B'Av. The day before Tisha B'Av is not intrinsically different than the other days leading up to Tisha B'Av. It's the meal before Tisha B'Av, which of course is eaten on Erev Tisha B'Av. And because the meal that's eaten before Tisha B'Av is eaten on Erev Tisha B'Av, that's why our Mishnah used the terminology Erev Tisha B'Av, day before eve of Tisha B'Av. But the Braisa said Tisha B'Av to tell you that it's not talking about the day, it's talking about that last meal. So clearly there is something about this meal. In fact, the Mishnah's prohibition, meaning the absolute prohibition of drinking wine and eating meat, applies not to the day before Tisha B'Av, but for the official meal before Tisha B'Av. Okay, what's up with that meal? What does this meal do? Seemingly this meal seems to be very important. The meal has got a menu. A very impoverished menu. It's got a menu attached to it. Why? What's up with this meal? So from the Gemara, we're now going to journey a couple of centuries, and we're going to take a look in the Rambam. The Rambam, in Hilchas Tainius, the Rambam, of course, divides the entirety of the Torah, the oral Torah, into 14 books. The third book is called Zmanim, which translates as times. So obviously it talks about special times. And for us, the Jewish people, there are all kinds of times. We have joyous times, starting with Shabbat. We have joyous times like the festivals. We have morose times, like the fast days. So the Rambam has a special set of halachot, which is called Hilchot Ta'aniyot, the laws of fasts. And in the fifth chapter of the laws of fasts, in the seventh halacha, the Rambam says to us the following. In the halacha before, in halacha 6, he talks about what happens from the beginning of the month of Av. He talks about the week of Tisha B'Av. And then in halacha 7, he says, before he begins to talk about Erev Tisha B'Av, this is very important now, the Rambam chooses to insert 6 words before he talks about Erev Tisha B'Av. He says, Tisha B'Av, Leilo Kiyomo. The night of Tisha B'Av is just like the day of Tisha B'Av, L'chol Davar, for everything. Which means to say that most of the fast days, excepting Yom Kippur, which is not part of these halachot, because Yom Kippur is a joyous day and these are sad days, most of the fasting begins at daybreak. But Tisha B'Av is markedly different. And therefore, Su'uda HaMafseket, the notion of a meal that will close out one day and herald a new day, or usher in a new day, or segue into a new day, does not apply with the other fasts. There is no such thing as a Su'uda HaMafseket on the third day of Tishrei, or on the 10th day of Tevet, or on the 17th day of Tammuz. There's no Su'uda HaMafseket. But Tisha B'Av, which the night is observed just as the day is observed, meaning it's a 25-hour fast, so therefore, ein ochlin ela miba'od yom. You have to eat before the day ends. As long as it's Erev Tisha B'Av, you can still eat. Once it's no longer Erev, meaning the day before, you can no longer eat. And now, the Rambam tells us, what about Bein HaShemashot? What about the time between the setting of the sun and the falling of night? Because once the sun goes down, there's still light in the sky. After all, the sun is sending its rays over the horizon even when you can't see the sun anymore. But the more the world goes round, the further the sun gets from us. And as the sun gets further and further and further from our horizon, there's less and less and less light peering over the horizon. And at a certain point, the heavens begin to be purified or cleared from light pollution. And when that happens, you can see straight into the stratosphere. And that's when the stars appear. The stars don't really appear. The stars are always there. We just can't see them because the sky is light. It's reflecting the light. So when the sun goes down, the day is ostensibly over, but not quite, because there's still daylight. So that's called Bein HaShemashot, and that's a period called the twilight zone. And just like the television show, The Twilight Zone, where weird things used to happen, this is kind of a no person's time. Like no man's land, no person's time. This is a no person time. This is not a day, it's not a night. It's a funny time, which means an Erev Shabbat, once the sun goes down, what do we stop doing? We stop working. Why do we stop working? Because it's Shabbat. And then the sun goes down on Shabbat. Do we start working? No. Why not? Didn't the sun just go down? Until night falls. Why is still Shabbat? Hey, make up your mind. Either the day ends when the sun goes down, or the day ends when night falls. What's the answer? We don't know. We don't know. And we don't know if it's day. We don't know if it's night. We don't know if it's some kind of strange animal that's not day or night. And then maybe it's a question of what's the halacha. So either anyway, we're not sure what to do, so we follow the stringencies. And therefore, Rambam says, this is going to be Asur Ki Yom HaKippurim, just like Yom Kippur. This is all a segue. We didn't read this in the Gemara together. Now the Rambam addresses the words of our Mishnah on page 26 as per the modification of page 30 in the Gemara that explains the Mishnah. V'lo yochal basar, v'lo yishte yayin. Do not eat meat and do not drink wine. B'seuda ha-mafsik ba. In the meal that interrupts. In other words, the Rambam understood the words of the Gemara that said, Tanya Nami Ochi, oh yeah, we did learn a Braisa just like this Mishnah. Rambam learns it just like Rashi. How did he learn it just like Rashi? He learned that it doesn't mean the day of Erev Tisha B'Av, the day before Tisha B'Av, but it means rather, the Mishnah is talking about Seuda Hamaf second bow. It's talking about the meal that interrupts. So Rambam also believed in a meal. What's up with this Last Supper? What is with this last meal? But he says, Shotehu Yayin Migito, you can't eat freshly pressed grapes. He's going back to the earlier Gemara here, and if it has 3 days or less. He says you can even eat bologna. That's just like salted meat. We don't do this, by the way. And then he comes back and he says, V'lo yocho shnei tafshilin. Don't eat two cooked items. The Gemara doesn't say that on page 30. That the Mishnah says. But the Gemara on page 30 is amplifying the Mishnah, is elucidating and clarifying the Mishnah. Now the Rambam comes back and listen to this. Bamed varam amurim. When does all of this apply, says Rambam? Sha'ochal erev Tisha B'Av achar chatzot. When you eat erev Tisha B'Av, when? After midday. In other words, you can't eat a su'udah ha-mafseket whenever you want. You can't say, I'll fast the 3 days. I'm having a su'udah ha-mafseket for breakfast on the 8th day of Av. Yeah, you do whatever you want, but that's not called su'udah ha-mafseket. Su'udah ha-mafseket can only be eaten just prior to Tisha B'Av, in the afternoon before. Avalim sa'ad kodim chatzot, if you had a meal prior to midday, afal pi shehu mafsik ba, even if it's the last supper for you, and you're not getting another dinner, he says, well, that doesn't matter. In other words, the su'udah ha-mafseket is not actually the Last Supper. It's the Last Supper if it's eaten in a certain time. So it has like a halachic designation. You have to eat this Last Supper. You can only eat this Last Supper when you're before Tisha B'Av, meaning in the afternoon before. It doesn't have to be after Plag HaMincha. It doesn't have to be like in the last quarter of the day like certain other things like accepting the Shabbat. But it does have to be after midday of Erev Tisha B'Av. Now what this tells us is, what the Rambam's telling us essentially is that the notion of eating this meal is very, very halachic. It's not just a technical Last Supper. It's not just the last meal you're eating. It's some kind of requirement. There's a requirement to eat a last meal. And that requirement to eat a last meal applies specifically in a window of time that is just prior to Tisha B'Av. Now, you may be thinking, so that means the meal of Erev Tisha B'Av is like a halachic meal. It's like an important meal. Well, what happens if it falls in Shabbat? Says Rambam, the Erev Tisha B'Av shechol liot b'Shabbat, but if it falls in Shabbat, ochel v'shoteh, eat and drink cold sarkoi, eat as much as you want. You can load up your table, he says. Afilu kesu'udat shlomo. You can eat like Solomon ate. Used to be a restaurant in Toronto called King Solomon's Table. You know why they went out of business? It was kosher.
Yeah, Chinese.
It was a Chinese. It was a buffet. Yeah. Eat all you can eat. That's why they went out of business. Because yes, the Jewish people like to eat a lot. I don't mean to make fun of Jews. My mother's Jewish. My wife is Jewish. But the cook there once told a friend of mine, he said, you know, I used to work in the Mandarin. He says, what I used to make for, let's say, he says, 50 people who came to the Mandarin, it doesn't feed even 10 people who come to King Solomon's table. They had a service they could wheel you out after if you pay for it. I'm just joking. But people thought if they paid already, all you eat, they had to keep going back in it, right? So he says, you can eat like King Solomon's table, no problem. Not stable, table. Okay, then he says, so in Tisha B'Av itself, he says, it falls in Shabbat, you can eat as much as you want. All right. So what do we hear here? The Rambam didn't say on Erev Tisha B'Av there's no Suda HaMafseket. He said, no, there is a Suda HaMafseket. He says, there is, he says. It's just there's no limits what you can eat at it. He says, you can eat as much as you want. But he seems to indicate there still is still a usu. He doesn't say, Erev Tisha B'Av is no Suda. No, he says, you can eat as much as you want. It follows the cadence of the Suda HaMafseket. There is this Last Supper idea. So this is even more strange. You're telling me here, the Last Supper has limitations. And you tell me here, no, there's a Shabbat-style Last Supper. King Solomon's table. What's going on over here? So this has to be better understood. We really need to have a little clarity here. So here's an important little detail that a Ashkenazic sage who wrote important and copious commentary on the Rambam called Hagos Maimonides, he adds in a little something. He says, you know that the Rambam, when he talks about this business of Erev Tisha B'Av, not eating meat and wine after Chatzot, he says, V'davka mafseket. It's only if it's the Last Supper. But if you're having dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then Mincha is going to be at 7 o'clock in the afternoon, I left you enough time to eat three times. So, right? And you're going to go home for Mincha and then go back home for Suda Mafseket, you can have whatever you want. You can eat like King Solomon's table, no problem. It's not the meal, it's not the food that's eaten in the afternoon of Erev Tisha B'Av. It's not like afternoon of Erev Tisha B'Av has limitations on eating. It's the last meal, the Last Supper, that can only be eaten formally just before Tisha B'Av arrives. But if you're eating another meal, two meals, well, eat away. King Solomon's table, no problem. Eat whatever you want. But the last meal is the one where this limitation applies. So for Nagos, Maimonides, it's very, very clear. And how do we know this? How do we know this? Because he says, that's what we see with Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, with the story of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, sitting there in the boiler room, eating his dry crust and his water. That's the Suda HaMafseket. So it's very clear from the way Rashi and Rambam understand the Gemara, that there is something called Su'udah HaMafseket. What's up with it? So far it's very clear. We're seeing this very, very clearly. So in order to better understand what is the meaning, what's behind this Su'udah HaMafseket, the first place that I want to take you is to Germany. And there, in Germany, in the 15th century, we have a great sage, whose name was Rabbi Yaakov Mullin, and he is known as Maharil, and his halachas are the forerunner of all Ashkenazic halacha. And he says like this, Maharil, in the laws of Tisha B'Av, in chapter 13, So'adim achar mincha, so'uda mafseket al ha'oretz. Do you hear that? Eat after mincha. Eat after mincha a Sa'uda Mafseket on the ground. What did Maharil just do for us? He just conflated for us Rashi, how explains the Gemara of Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara earlier of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, who sat on the floor. He conflates Rashi's interpretation, Rambam's interpretation, as it comes through the prism of Hagos Maimonides. Whether he heard it from him or he knew it. But the point is, he says, you eat the Su'udah Mafsekes not in the afternoon. He doesn't use Rambam's verbiage afternoon, but he says it's Achar Mincha. It's Achar Mincha. Why? Because surely you have to eat. You're going to fast, you have to eat. But after Mincha, he says, then you get on the ground and you eat the Su'udah Mafsekes. And what are you going to eat at the Su'udah Mafsekes? He says, you're going to eat Beitzim or Yadashim. You eat eggs or legumes. Eggs or beans. And he says you could eat some fruit if you want, because fruit are not called a tafshil. It's not called anything cooked. But eggs or beans, those are called cooked. And he says, because that's the fruit can be eaten raw, that it's not called a cooked item. And then he says, this is indeed what the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, that he would sit on the ground in the smoky boiler room area, and he would bring him an egg, and he would bring him a cup of water. Ma'aril's Gemara seemed to talk about an egg. Our Gemara doesn't talk about an egg. Our Gemara talks about a crust of bread. But Ma'aril's Gemara seems to bring egg. He had a different version of the Gemara. And he would eat it, and that's how he'd eat. So, now we're getting a more detailed menu. Now we're hearing from Maharil. We found that what's not on the menu, no meat, no wine, not even two courses, two cooked items. But he says, you should have either eggs or beans on the menu. Why do I have to have eggs or beans on the menu? So, from Germany, we'll go to Spain. And here in the tour, Rabbeinu Yankov Balaturim, who is the grandson of the leader of the Germanic Jews, whose name was Maharami Rutenberg. But he had to escape, and he got caught, and he got thrown into prison. And he didn't make it out of prison, but his son-in-law, Rabbeinu Usher, does, and he settles in Spain. And his son, Rabbi Yaakov, writes the forerunner of the Code of Jewish Law. And he calls it four turim, four columns. And one column is called Orech Chaim, the way of life. Very different from Rambam, because Rambam includes all halachot of Torah. The Shulchan Aruch is only practical halachot. No offerings, no Beit HaMikdash, none of that's discussed over here. No ritual purity and impurity. Simen Tov Kuf Nun Beis, chapter 552. Here we have the Tur telling us, after we learned that there's something called a Suda HaMafseket, there's a meal which serves to interrupt, the Tur tells us, v'yesh mekomot, there are places, maybe he heard this from his father, who told him what they did in his youth in Germany. There are places, he said, shenohagin lahafsik, that they have a custom of making the interruption, of separating ba'adoshim, with beans. Ah, but here, number one, we see from the tour that there's a mitzvah lahafsik. There's some kind of business of making official interruption. And he says, we make an interruption with beans. Why beans, says the tour, shehu siman la'avelut, because it is a sign of mourning, M-O-U. Why is it a sign of mourning? In Hebrew, avel, avelut, mourning. How do we know that? Because very early on in Jewish history, in fact, 37 or so centuries ago, the first Jew died. His name was Abraham. The first person to be born a Jew was sitting Shiva. It was the first time somebody ever sat Shiva. Because when Avram Avinu's father died, Avram Avinu's father wasn't a Jew. And anyway, he wasn't even there when he died. So Avram Avinu never sat Shiva for his father. The first person in the world to ever sit Shiva is Yitzchak Avinu, our father Isaac. Who is going to bring the Shiva meal? Jacob. Guess what? Jacob was in the kitchen. Who showed up and wanted some Shiva food? But it wasn't being made for him. Esau. What was Esau? Why did he need to have some Shiva food? Oh, because he just committed a homicide and he was a little drained and he did some soup just to make him feel better, you know. Doesn't feel so good, your first homicide. Then Esau got used to it, and after that, he didn't even have to eat anymore. He felt so good after he killed people. But the first time he killed somebody, it was a little bit overwhelming for him. And he sees Yaakov cooking this wonderful lentil soup, and he says, give me some lentils. And Yaakov says, you want some lentils? Let's negotiate. You want to negotiate? Esau says, I'm about to die, and you want to negotiate. I need soup now. Give me soup now. Yaakov says, you make me the firstborn, I give you soup now. The heck with it. He says, take your firstborn, do whatever you want, just give me the soup. What did that story tell us? It tells us that beans are the Shiva food. Esav stole the Shiva food. Or swiped some of it. Why is that? Ma'adashazu galgel. Because the beans are round. And mourning is the cycle of life. Af avelut galgalhu. Mourning is also the way of life.
It's a cycle of life. Shechozer ba'olam, unfortunately, we come around the cycle of life. Ma'adasha in lopeh, where's the mouth of the bean? What do you mean it's round? It doesn't have a mouth. Where's the opening of the bean? The bean doesn't have an opening. Corn has an opening. Cherries have an opening. Tomatoes have an opening. The beans are round. They come in a pod. They're round. It doesn't have a mouth. An oval doesn't have a mouth. You come to the oval. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Mourner? What does he say to you? I beg your pardon? How do you think I'm doing? In the beginning, the mourner doesn't say anything. There's no wise words. He's not in a talkative mood. Ain lo harbet lo la harbet b'dibur. He's not even supposed to talk a lot. And now says the Tor. But back in Germany, uba Ashkenaz and Alsace Lorraine, where he once had ancestry coming from there, and he knew their customs, he says, Noagim lachol beitzim. Over there, they eat eggs. Why do they eat eggs? Shogam ken siman avilut, because it is also a sign of mourning. Lachach ein ochlen tafshel acher besuda mafsekes. That's why we don't eat anything else cooked. Why not? Because we want the meal to focus on morning food. Not Cheerios. Morning food. M-O-U-R-N-A-N-G. Morning food. It's not just about not eating other things. It's about focusing on the menu. If you have eggs and potatoes and blintzes and throw in some fish while you're at it, and do me a favor, whip me up a quiche. So then the egg got lost in everything else. It became a tuna niçoise salad. But when you got an egg and bread, or beans and bread, what'd you get? You got morning food. In other words, what the Torah is telling us is that the idea of the Suda HaMafsekes is a meal of mourning. It's not just a question of, on Tisha B'Av we don't eat. No, on Erev Tisha B'Av we do eat. What do we eat? We eat morning food. We're expressing our mourning. We're Jewish. We have to eat everything we eat, right? How did they say a Jewish holiday? They try to kill us. We won. Now let's eat. That's what we do. Well, here we didn't win exactly. Here we lost. We lost. We lost the Beis HaMikdash. We lost our land. We learned. We still eat. But we're not having a joyous meal. Now we're having a mournful meal. But you can't have a mournful meal. It's Tisha B'Av. We don't eat. That's true. So when are we having a mournful meal? Just before Tisha B'Av.
What about Shabbos?
Ah, we'll get to Shabbos soon. But now we're starting to understand that this business of the mournful meal, it's not just a mournful meal, right? And then the Torah says a little later on that there's a custom of eating some dry bread without any kind of margarine or any baba ganoush. He doesn't say that, but he says with a lifton. Umayim bimsura, and a little bit of water. And then he says, that's what the great Rabbi Yitzchok Reb Menachem did. And then he says, some people eat just the egg. Just the egg. And then he goes on to say, Kolze, when does all this apply? This is not whatever you eat on Erev Tisha B'Av has to be morning food. No. The Kolze Besuda Shemafsik B'Av. This is only the Last Supper. This is only the final meal. And that has to be Acher Chatzot. Sound familiar? That's what Rambam told us, right? Avlu Mayakodim Chatzot, but if it's before Chatzot, or like the Hagos Maimonides says, if it's Acher Chatzot after midday, but Vedato Lechol Acharke, and you're planning to eat again, then you can eat as much as you want. That's not a problem. However, he says, the Ramban says, you must be sure to eat a proper Suda HaMafseket. And he says, therefore, do not stuff your face at the earlier meal. Leave some room behind. It should be a meal. The morning meal should not be a snack. The morning meal should not be just nibbling on something I really can't eat anymore. I'm stuffed, but I'll nibble on an egg. No. There actually has to be a morning meal. And therefore, you have to wash. You have to have bread. It has to be a meal. Because this morning meal is not just stopping to eat. Here, you're actually observing. You're doing something. It's a Suda HaMafseket. Now, the Bach, the Bayit Chadash, Rabbi Yoel Sirkis, who was the rabbi in Krakow in the 16th century, he comments here and he says, this is only by the Seudah HaMafseket. And he says, the truth is that when a person eats the Seudah HaMafseket, it's applying, but if you eat before, even if it's before Tisha B'Av, if you're planning to still eat again, it's not a time-bound thing. It's not the food you eat in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. It's only the Seudah HaMafseket that you eat. In other words, this is a special designated meal. A special designated meal. Now let me tell you something absolutely unbelievable. The Bet Yosef in his commentary says, the Omer, when you sit down to have this meal, you actually have to verbalize and you say, Zo Seudat Tisha B'Av. This is the meal of Tisha B'Av. This is the final supper. Ah. And this is to fulfill a pasuk. And he quotes Ramban and he quotes Agos Maimonis. And he says, that's what Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi was doing when he sat down on the floor. He was making it an official Tisha B'Av meal. Just like a joyous meal. On Pesach you eat like this. You relax and you enjoy. This is the polar opposite. Here you eat in a miserable way. And you express that. And he's not the only one to say it. The Knesset HaGdolah, as he's quoted by the Ma'am Loi, says, Yidavin, Besuda HaMafseket, he said, Mishtadlim lihitpalol mincha tchila. You should really try hard to daven mincha first. So the mincha kind of separates between what you ate before and what you're about to do now. And then he says, you sit down to eat before the sun goes down. V'yoshvin al ha'oretz kemo avelim. You sit on the ground like a mourner. You're sitting on the ground like a mourner. And the Ma'am Loi says, I left out a little. Actually, there's a little more that's supposed to be written over here. In the footnotes, he said, when you eat your big meal before mincha, do not stuff your face. Why? So you should be able to eat a Seudah HaMafseket. This is an important meal. You need to eat it. And he says, but if you're worried about all these challenges of eating, I have to eat a meal, but not too big, and I have to leave room and eat a mournful meal. He says, Kedai Beit Elokeinu Shenitztayr Lav Yemechad. It's okay, we lost the Beit HaMikdash. You could have one disturbed day. That's just fine. You don't have to eat until you fulfill. It's okay, he says. The Ma'am Loes quotes a sefer which is called the Echa Rabba, Rabba Echa, and he says, Du'u, you should know. Su'uda zu shemekablin botainit. This is the meal that you accept upon yourself to fast. Harezu su'uda shal mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, this meal. It's kesu'uda sha'ochlen erev Yom Kippur. It's like the Su'udah you eat Erev Yom Kippur, and I want you to file that away because we're going to come back to this. We're going to come back to this. So we're starting to see that this meal is not just a, you have to eat something sweet. No. There is a thing called Su'udah HaMafseket. It's an important part of our observance of Tisha B'Av. The Darkei Moshe, which is Rabbeinu Moshe Isserlish, the Ramah, before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, like the Bet Yosef, he wrote commentary on the tour, he too, in chapter 552, goes on at length quoting Ramban and telling you, you better not eat too much because then you'll miss the whole point. You need to have a proper meal. Ramban says, yeah, you need to wash. It needs to be a meal with bread. The Yehuda Bar Eloi ate bread. You know, some people don't like to wash. Even if they're not on the Atkins diet, I have to wash and bench. They wash on Shabbat. No. He says, you have to wash for this. The Seudah HaMafseket is a thing to wash for. It's actually our custom that when we wash, we eat a bagel. Why a bagel? Because it's round. Because that's what the mourners eat. Eggs and bagels. Round. Now, listen to this. I just told you that the Bet Yosef says that you should say, this is the meal of Tisha B'Av. In the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Misha Efshalo, a person who can, lo yochel ela pat. You should only eat bread, chareva, dry bread, and a little bit of, in salt with a little bit of water. And he says, Rama adds, v'yesh machmirim, says Rama in chapter 552, in the subsection 6, Rama says, there are those who are stringent and they try to eat that bread dipped in some ashes. And the Mishnah Berurah says, v'omer, when you do that, you say, zehu su'udat tishabav. Just like the Beit Yosef said. So he said, this is su'udat tishabav. In fact, he says that this is what Rav did. The Beit Yosef says, Rav, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that's a long time ago, 17 centuries ago, is quoted as doing that. Now this gets even more interesting, because when we look in the big Shulchan Aruch, the big Shulchan Aruch tells us something very interesting. It says that when a person is going to eat this meal, that happens besuda mafseket. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch starts off to begin with by telling us erev Tisha B'Av lo yochel adam besuda hamafseket sheochen acher chatzot. On erev Tisha B'Av, you don't eat at the suda hamafseket, which can only be eaten after chatzot. Basar, don't eat meat for leish tayin. The Shulchan Aruch says it lechatchila. It says lechatchila the halacha. That's what everything else that was augmented and explained and elucidated. Shulchan Aruch puts it at the beginning that way, and he says leyochus tefshilin. Don't eat two tefshilin. And a whole discussion of what that means, how that works. And then he gets into the details. And he says, what should you do? He says, no aguleshev al gabe karka. It's customary to sit on the floor. By suda mafseket. And the Rama says, but you're sitting on the floor. What might you else have to do? Take off your leather footwear, right? Because you're sitting like a mourner. Says the Rama, no. Ve'ein lach leitz menolo, but don't take off your shoes yet. In other words, the observances of Tisha B'Av, like not eating, don't start till at night. So the observance of Tisha B'Av and not wearing leather footwear doesn't yet apply. So what am I doing here? Ah, says the Magen Avraham, you know what I'm doing here? He says, because an onen, einu meisev ochel, the onen, the person who just lost a loved one, doesn't sit luxuriously and eat. And he says, these days nobody eats that way. They used to have couches they ate on. That's what we try to do on the night of Pesach. But nobody eats this way today. He says, yeah, true. Therefore, loy minkar hashiflus. It wouldn't be obvious, the lowliness of this moment. The low of this moment would only be obvious if it's al gabe karka, if you're sitting on the floor. So in other words, this is the mourning meal. We're eating mournful food and we have a mournful posture. The mournful posture is by sitting on the floor. We're expressing the concept of a sense of feeling low. This idea is beautifully articulated by the Levush, who wrote his own Shulchan Aruch of sorts, following the system of the Tur. The Mordechai Yaffe, he says in his Shulchan Aruch, which did not take off as a Shulchan Aruch, but still used as a very important book to augment and explain the halacha to us, he says in chapter 552, in subsection 5, Nogam lechel adashim ebeitzim, why? Mipnei sheheim simon la'ovel. Straight up, he says, this meal needs eggs or beans because that's what mourners eat. And then he says, in subsection 7, it's customary to sit on the floor. Do not take your shoes off. Why? The lo mitam evel yoshven agabe karka. You're not sitting on the floor as a mourner. You're eating mournful food, but you're not a mourner. Because if you were mourning on Tisha B'Av, you wouldn't be eating at all. So you're eating mournful food, but you're not sitting on the floor as mourning. Elokadeshi heinira. In order, it should be obvious that this is a suda aniya ushvela. This is a meal which brings to mind poverty. This is a meal which brings to mind being in a low situation. Understand? So now we understand what this meal is about. And he says the problem is because in today's day and age, we don't eat in that luxurious way. We don't sit there lounging around. Because we don't sit lounging around, we have to do something radical. So the radical thing we do is go sit on the floor. The only one that sits on the floor is a mourner. So that's what we're doing. Yeshiva gabe karka. And then the Levush says, but this is only the last meal. The other meals you can eat as much as you want, he says. You can eat like a king, in fact, he says. You can put everything on the table like Shulchan Melachim. But he says the last meal, don't eat too much, because the last meal, you go and have a mincha, and then after mincha, you have to eat that last meal. He says, don't cook too many things. Why not cook too many things? Not just so it shouldn't be luxurious, so it should be obvious you're eating food of mourning. So we're removing the luxurious element of this meal. It's not a lavish meal, but instead it's a meal that broadcasts mourning. So now we have a very, very good understanding that this meal is really important. And this meal is so important that in fact it becomes a symbol of nothing short of Tisha B'Av itself. And now listen to this. In Shailos HaTshuvos, Halachas Ketanos, over there, he says, you know, there's only one other day of the year that we don't eat for 25 hours. When is that? That's Yom Kippur. And he says, you know, the Gemara tells us that kol ha'ochel v'shoyseh b'tshi, a person who eats on the ninth day of Tishrei, the Torah considers it as if he would have fasted on the ninth day and on the tenth day. Why is this? He says, because when you're preparing to do a big mitzvah, that's also a big mitzvah. You're preparing to celebrate Yom Kippur. The preparation for Yom Kippur is in and of itself meaningful and special and important. And he says, just like Yom Kippur has to be done with a state of joy, so too Erev Yom Kippur has to be with a state of joy. And because if people will be too hungry, they won't be so happy. So eat a lot on Erev Yom Kippur, so you should be joyous on Yom Kippur. So you shouldn't focus on the rumblings of your stomach on Yom Kippur. And then the Shailos HaTshuvos Halachos Ketanos says, V'chein gabei Tisha B'Av, this is Yom Anot. This is a day of affliction, a day of sadness. Over here, a person has to mourn for the Beit HaMikdash. And can you mourn? Can you mourn properly if you didn't eat for 2 days? No, by the second day, you'll be driven crazy from hunger. So he says, the only way you're going to be able to get through Tisha B'Av is if you eat on Erev Tisha B'Av. And he says, you know what? He says, if there would not have been a decree of fasting on Tisha B'Av, what do you think we would have eaten on Tisha B'Av? Mourner's food, he says. Forget devil's cake. Mourner's food. Mourner's food. He says, then therefore, on Erev Tisha B'Av, what should you be eating? Mourner's food. Because that's what you would have eaten on Tisha B'Av. You understand? He makes it like a Seudat Yom Tov of Tisha B'Av. Only this is not a Yom Tov, it's a Yom Ra. It's not a good day, it's a bad day, it's a sad day. So you have sad food. And he says this is the reason that the Suda HaMafseket is so important, because it's actually part of the observance of Tisha B'Av. It's the bridge into, the segue into, it's what Tisha B'Av is about. Tisha B'Av is not about only getting going hungry. Tisha B'Av is also about eating in order to be able to go hungry. But on Tisha B'Av, if we'll be eating, it will be mournful food, so we have to eat mournful food. Now it all starts to come together. Now it's starting to make a lot of sense. In fact, the Ma'am Lois goes ahead and says, you should know that if he brings in the name of the Shalah, that if there are children from the age of 10 years and upwards, they're able to understand the meaning of mourning, you have to give those children the same egg. They have to eat a Suda Mafseket too, even if they're not going to fast. Because if they're not going to do the fasting part, they should still do the eating part, because that's part of Tisha B'Av. So you don't have to have them eat a lot on Erev Tisha B'Av, because they're eating anyway the next day, but you do have to have them eat a Suda Mafseket, because that's how we mourn. That's how we express our mourning. And that's what the Gemara means when it talks to us about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eloi. Now I'm going to tell you something absolutely unbelievable. The Machtzis HaShekel, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, says, you know, I should tell you that this business of eating the big meal before mincha, that's also part of Tisha B'Av. Why? He said, well, first of all, if you don't eat a lot, you're not going to be able to fast. Or you're going to have a little bit of a dry crust of bread and a cold, hard-boiled egg. How are you going to fast the next day? But he says furthermore, because we know that Tisha B'Av is also a Yom Tov, because it's going to be the happiest day when Mashiach comes, and because it's called Ikri Moyed, it's called a name, a word, which is usually reserved for festivals. That's the name for Tisha B'Av. So because of this, he says, we also should do something to remember that Mashiach was born. But on Tisha B'Av, you can't do that. You can't have a birthday party for Mashiach on Tisha B'Av. So he says, therefore, the meal you eat Erev Tisha B'Av becomes the birthday party for Mashiach. He says that actually becomes a meal for Mashiach. So he says that's the celebration of the redemption. And he says we should show that we are certain that Hashem is going to redeem us. And therefore, Erev Tisha B'Av, there's not only the Suda HaMafseket, the mournful meal, but even the lavish meal that you eat prior is also, says the Machzah Shekel, connected to Tisha B'Av. And I will conclude now with three amazing things that the Rebbe said over the years when Tisha B'Av fell on Shabbos. In 1965, the Rebbe finished saying Kaddish for his mother on Tisha B'Av. And that Tisha B'Av was Shabbos. No, sorry, the Rebbe finished Kaddish a few days before on Hayav, on the Arizal's yard site. But the Shabbos after, the Rebbe spoke about it. And the Rebbe said, here we are on Shabbos afternoon, and we're speaking about the Torah. You're not supposed to talk about Torah. There's a whole discussion if you are allowed to talk about Torah or not allowed to talk about Torah. And the Alter Rebbe says, we know that although there's different customs, the Alter Rebbe on Shabbos, Chazon, he wore his Shabbat clothing. He wore his white garments and his shtreimel. He wore the whole Shabbat clothing. Why? Because on Shabbat, one is not allowed to broadcast any kind of mourning. And the Rebbe said, it's self-understood that if we have a regular event where we get together, Rebbe shares Torah, and I wouldn't do it now on Erev Tisha B'Av, because it was actually Tisha B'Av, Shabbos, so then that's public broadcasting of the concept of mourning. It's as the Inav Avelis B'Far Hesha. And the Rebbe said the truth is that on Shabbat, the whole concept of destruction cannot apply. He said, because that's the reason for the mourning, is because of destruction. But it's on Shabbos, there's no destruction. On Shabbos, we transcend destruction. And the Rebbe said, that's why the language of Shulchan Aruch is, we just read this together, Ochel basa v'shota yayim besuda mafseket. Besuda mafseket. Let me read that from the Shulchan Aruch. Imchol Tisha B'Av be'echad b'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av falls on Sunday, or Shechol b'Shabbos, it falls on Shabbos. V'nidchel achas Shabbos, is pushed off to after Shabbos. Ochel basa v'shota yayim besuda mafseket. So people say, oh, there's no suda mafseket. No, the Shulchan Aruch says there is a Seudah HaMafseket. Only this Seudah HaMafseket, this Last Supper, has got meat and wine, the whole jazz. Umayla Shulchan Afilu Yad Keseudah Shlomo HaMelech Beit Malchuto. Even Shlomo HaMelech at the time when he was a sovereign, ruling in full glory. So the Rebbe said Shlomo, doesn't say David HaMelech, doesn't say Asa HaMelech, doesn't say Chizkiyo HaMelech, the Shlomo. Why? He was known to be the most Lucallan of the kings. He was into food more than everybody else. The Rebbe said the real reason is because Shlomo was connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Whose Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? The Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built. And nonetheless, you can load up your table for the Suda HaMafseket, like Shlomo HaMelech's table. Like Shlomo HaMelech's table. And therefore, the Rebbe said, so since we have this idea that the Suda HaMafseket is eaten in the most lavish of ways, and we emphasize Shlomo, that's because the whole concept of Churban is not Shaykh on Shabbos. And therefore, the Rebbe said we could follow the more lenient approaches. If there's any question that this might be a situation of broadcasting mourning in a public way, then automatically we have to err on the side of caution and we cannot mourn on Shabbat Kodesh. Now, I'm going to take you from 1965 to 1974. Here, Sudash Lishit, that's correct, after Mincha. Here, the Rebbe said, no egg, no mournful food, you're not allowed to mourn on Shabbos. So it's a joyous Suda HaMafseket. Here, it was Shabbos Parshas Pinchas. This was Shabbos Parshas Devarim, which was actually ninth day of Av. Tisha B'Av was pushed off. This, what I'm telling you now, was Shabbos Mevorchim of Menachem Av. It was Shabbos Parshas Pinchas in 1974. And the Rebbe began to speak about this concept that it's Shabbos. The whole 3 weeks start off on Shabbos. And the Rebbe said that when it comes to negative things, we always have to err on the side of leniency. And the Rebbe said, we see with regard to the fast that it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that on Erev Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to eat twice as much. Now remember, we have already a link drawn between Erev Yom Kippur from the Shailos HaTshuvos Halachas Katanas. The Rebbe says, why is it a mitzvah to eat twice as much on the day before Yom Kippur? Because Hashem wants the fast to be easier. easier. The notion of pain in religion is not a Jewish one. Being miserable, suffering, give till you're hurt, that's not a Jewish idea. Other faith systems emphasize pain, sacrifice. Judaism emphasizes love and loyalty and devotion and commitment. If there'll be sacrifice, there'll be sacrifice too. Nothing's going to stand in my way. But it's not about, you don't get closer to God if you have pain. You don't look to have pain. You don't look to torture or self-flagellate. That's not Jewish. On the contrary, if you're going to fast that day to swear off anything material, what should you do? Torah says, eat twice as much the day before. On a simple level, Torah wants to make it easier for you. You're doing a mitzvah. So eat a lot of Erevim Kippur. That's also a mitzvah. Just like fasting is a mitzvah. Whatever possible to make it easier. And now, the Rebbe says, we could see that the Torah once is trying to make it easier for us. So the Rebbe said, imagine, if the Torah is trying to make it easier for Yom Kippur, which is anyway a joyous day, and anyway a Jew, it says, l'achyesim b'rov, and a Jew is elevated through that and so on and so forth. Here, before the fast day, we tell a Yid, eat meat and drink wine. Atasuda mafseket, eat as much as you want. So much so that when Tisha B'Av itself is on Shabbat, what do we say? Asuda mafseket usually has all kinds of limitations, things that govern the menu, how you sit, what you eat, what you say. But the Rebbe said when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, it falls on Shabbat. Su'udat Shlomo b'shaita, you eat like King Solomon ate, King Solomon's table. And it doesn't even say this about Erev Yom Kippur. It doesn't even say it. And the Rebbe said, that's because Erev Yom Kippur, the fast itself gives you energy. But Tisha B'Av is a draining day. It's a sad, morose day. And therefore Hashem wants you to eat as much as possible. He doesn't say eat like King Solomon. He says Su'udat Shlomo b'shaita. And the Rebbe points out that we know in the scripture there's various descriptions of Shlomo HaMelech. He had high times and low times. In the end, he didn't end at the same kind of high that he achieved earlier on in life. Here we say, Su'udah Shlomo Melech B'Shaiteh, the best of the best, the zenith of Solomon's reign. That's the kind of eating that we should be doing over here. When Shlomo HaMelech was on his throne, when he was at his full strength, at the apogee of his career, and we say in such a situation that the meal should be eaten in such a fashion. So the Rebbe emphasized that Torah wants it to be even more so than Erev Yom Kippur, even more so the Torah wants us to eat on Tisha B'Av that falls on Shabbos. And this, my dear friends, is the kicker. On the last Tisha B'Av that the Rebbe was with us and able to speak, this is Tisha B'Av 1991. That Tisha B'Av was Shabbos. And the Rebbe went on to say extraordinary things about this Tisha B'Av. He reiterated things that he had spoken of in years before. He talked about this idea that the food is eaten in a lavish way and so on and so forth. But then the Rebbe went on to speak about the concept that Tisha B'Av also has a positive element to it. The positive element, of course, is Mashiach is born this day. And this is a day that has a redemptive kind of energy in addition to a sad energy. It's called a moed, right? Think of the Machzis HaShekel, who says that the meal we're eating in some way is reminiscing of this. And the Rebbe went on to say that in that case, since Shabbos is a day, it's called Shabbat Chazon. And the Hasidic interpretation of Chazon is not the vision of doom and gloom of Isaiah, but Rav Levi Yitzchak Barditchev said that Yid is shown the third base on Migdash. And the whole concept of Shabbat Chazon is that a Jew is elevated. So the Rebbe said, and this day, when rested on 9 days, we aren't eating meat and aren't drinking wine, and we're doing everything to minimize joy. On this day, that it's a mitzvah to be ma'anig Shabbos, that a person has to delight in Shabbos, with like the language that says in Shulchan Aruch, with dogim gedolim, with large fish, and basar, and yayin, and meat, and wine. And we go ahead, and it says in Shulchan Aruch, only on the meal of Erev Tisha B'Av, on Shabbos, Su'udah Shleima B'Shaiteh. So the Rebbe said, in other words, not only we're not fasting on this day, we're rejoicing on this day. And the Rebbe said that on a deeper level, besides the fact that it's Shabbat, we have no choice, that this rejoices and emphasizes the positive energy of Tisha B'Av. When Tisha B'Av falls in Shabbat, we're actually able to eat the Su'udah HaMafseket, which is the meal of Tisha B'Av, in the way the meal of Tisha B'Av will be in the future. It's the real Seuda HaMafseket. This is the Seuda HaMafseket. This part I hope does get fulfilled. This is the real Seuda HaMafseket, the Rebbe said. And the Rebbe said, we have this idea that on Erev Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to eat. Because if you would be able to eat on Yom Kippur, for sure there will be a Seudas Yom Tov. So you eat, like you're eating, you're rejoicing on Yom Kippur. In fact, the Rebbe doesn't talk about it here, but there's a question that Tzemach Tzedek asks, why do we make Kiddush early on Erev Yom Kippur? And that Tzemach Tzedek's answer is, if you make Kiddush early on Yom Kippur, it will be Yom Kippur. You won't be able to eat anymore. But it's like a Seudas Yom Tov. So the Rebbe went on to say then, that on the Tisha B'Av that falls on Shabbat, the inner essence of Tisha B'Av's energy is being revealed. And that the meal that's eaten, the Seuda HaMafseket, is the real celebration of Tisha B'Av. But it's as a celebration. Because the positive emphasis is highlighted. And of course, that's why there's an opinion in the Gemara that says, once Shabbat came, forget about Tisha B'Av already, you can't fast this year anymore. In other words, because the energy of Shabbat is so redemptive that it revealed the positive element of Tisha B'Av. We know, of course, Tisha B'Av, unfortunately, if Mashiach doesn't come on Shabbos, will have to be observed the next day, but at least on the day of Tisha B'Av, the falls on Shabbos, we're able to benefit from the positive element of this very, very important day, which, albeit has been marked in a sad, morose and mournful way for over 1950 years, but when Mashiach will come, it'll be the greatest Yom Tov of all. So now we understand the Seuda HaMafseket. We understand what it's about. We understand that it is really a big deal. It's the first of the Tisha B'Av, actual Tisha B'Av observances is not starving, but the first Tisha B'Av observance is actually eating on a regular year in a mournful way. And on the year when it's Shabbat, we do have a Seuda HaMafseket. But we're rejoicing with the positive element of Tisha B'Av, and let us hope and pray that Emir Tzashem, this year on the ninth day of Av, will be celebrating Mashiach's birthday together with Mashiach in the third Beis HaMikdash with a wonderful meal. V'mheira will be Ameinu Amen. That's pretty cool.